Another day is here, and you're ready for it. What to wear? Check. Breakfast, lunch, and dinner? Check. Planning for what's next and how to save for it? That's where Bank of America can help. For your financial to-dos, Bank of America has experts ready to help get you closer to your goals. Get started at one of our local financial centers or 24-7 in our mobile banking app. Find a location near you at bankofamerica.com/talktous. What would you like the power to do? Mobile banking requires downloading the app and is only available for select devices. Message and data rates may apply. Bank of America NA, member FDIC.
The pride, passion, and pageantry of college football lives here. This is the Paul Feinbaum Show, Hour 2 Podcast.
This might be college football heaven.
Great to have you with us for the second hour of our program. And we're always excited to talk to Scott Rabelais from The Advocate down in Baton Rouge. We'll get his thoughts in a minute on the Tigers for the upcoming season. But first, we are looking at a headline talking about Tiger Stadium turning 100. Will you help? Someone write about, hey, I'll help. I've been there a few times. Scott Rabelais, what's going on? How are you?
I'm doing well, Paul. Do you have an LSU man cave, though? A Tiger Stadium man cave? That's what I'm looking for.
So before I waste my time telling you about all my great memories of Tiger Stadium, what's this book about?
Yeah, like you said, Tiger Stadium turns 100 years old in November. And so writing a book about, the traditions and the great games, the great players. And the thing I asked people for their help with was to say, hey, do you have a shrine to Tiger Stadium at your home, a room with all kind of stuff in it, a Tiger Stadium made out of Legos, a bunch of, game programs on the wall and that sort of thing. So got a lot of responses. It's been really nice. And, as with everywhere in the SEC, LSU football and their home stadium means a great deal to a lot of people. And I've been overwhelmed by the thing. So their support. So it's a book that comes out in November, and to coincide with the actual Tiger Stadium birthday.
I'm particularly interested in something a little abstract, but when did Tiger Stadium get that reputation as the most difficult place to play on a Saturday night?
It wasn't that before 1958, before that national championship. There was a big fight in the early 50s. People are going to be amused by this, whether to build a new library on campus or to turn Tiger Stadium into a bowl to enclose the south end zone. And the football stadium won. But they had trouble filling it. But then 1958 happened. Billy Cannon, the Chinese bandits, Paul Dietzel led them to that first AP national championship. And then I think it really started to grow. And all those epic games, especially the games with Ole Miss, for a 15-year stretch, LSU versus Ole Miss from like 58 to 72 or 73 was really epic. And most of those games, for some reason, were played in Baton Rouge. They didn't play very many games in Jackson and maybe only one or two in Oxford. I think it was from those years, because as you know, back then, the classic 59 LSU Ole Miss game, it wasn't on the television. The teams were only on television once or twice a year back then. And so you had to go to the games and you had to experience it and be there in person. And that whole thing at night, people had a chance to prepare all day long, shall we say, and get loud and get ready for the games at night. And most of the games were at night. And I think that was an atmosphere that a lot of teams didn't have to deal with or didn't deal with very much. And I think it kind of took on a life of its own.
Scott, I wonder how much of it had to do with, and this was my introduction to LSU football as many others, it was often the only game on Saturday night that you could pick up on radio because of the WWL and maybe other outlets. I remember hearing Bear Bryant when I got to Alabama talk about, I got to get out of this press conference so I can go listen to LSU on the radio. It was a big deal.
Yeah, WWL, the station in New Orleans, was a clear channel AM radio station, still is. And they broadcast, all over the country. I remember even my dad had a friend he worked with in the insurance business who lived in Los Angeles for a while. And he said he would go drive his car up onto a mountain ridge outside of LA, and he could pick up the games out there, you know, very faintly, but he could pick them up. And people talked about that all over the place. I remember Mike Archer talked about that when he was the coach here, listening to the games as a young boy growing up in Pennsylvania at night. So yeah, I think that for a lot of people, you know, my generation and older, it was a very big deal because as you said, it was rare then that the games, there weren't that many games on TV. They're mostly during the day, almost all during the day. And for those Tiger Stadium games at night, as you know, Paul, being a radio guy, the theater of the mind, I think just what you fill in with your imagination when you're listening to a place, listen to something happen on the radio, a big sporting event, it just adds to that mystique. And I think that's a big part of it. Absolutely.
Scott Rabelais with us. Scott, we would be remiss if we didn't get a thought from you on the upcoming season. We're not that far away. We are in May now. So what are you sensing now that spring is over and you've had a chance to hear and talk to everyone?
Well, I think the feeling is the offense is going to be in very good shape again. Obviously, you lose three first-round draft picks with Jaden Daniels and Malik Nabers and Brian Thomas. But you had a chance to see Garrett Dellinger quarterback the team in the bowl game against Wisconsin, lead him on that 98-yard drive to win the game. You still got Kyron Lacy, transfers like CJ Daniels and Aaron Anderson coming to his own. You have a tight end back in Mason Taylor, who's got some experience. A very good offensive line. The concern continues to be on defense, and LSU, like everyone, has been shopping for defensive tackles in the portal, transfer portal, and so far has kind of come up a little short. Two of the big targets, Dominic Williams left TCU going to Oklahoma, and Simeon Barrow left Michigan State going to Miami. So LSU is going to making some other offers. Names that we're watching: C.J. West from Kent State, Aiden Huntington from ULM. Up in Monroe, and Terrell Allen from Tennessee State. So, but everyone is trying to land these kinds of players, and that seems to be a key for LSU. Obviously, everyone knows how great the offense was last year and how bad the defense was. You can't expect the offense to be number one in the country in scoring and total yards again. I mean, it's just a hard standard to match. So the defense has kind of got to at least be decent in it and to get LSU into being one of those 12 teams for the playoff. And I think the schedule is relatively manageable as it can be in the SEC, but you can't be just abjectly bad on defense again this year. And of course, new defensive staff, new coordinator, new everything, but got to find some guys to help you in the interior, because as we know, Paul, this is the bedrock of what makes SEC teams national championship contenders year after year, is how good you are in the trenches.
Great stuff, as always, Scott Rabelais from The Advocate, eager to hear, to see the book when it comes out, and eager to see you in a couple weeks when we are all together. We are heading to the break now. More of your phone calls here on what's been a busy show. Chris Lowe already joining us. You heard Scott. There are more guests to come as we roll on here on a Monday afternoon.
Is your schedule too packed to see a doctor about your erectile dysfunction? Well, with Hims, now you can get treated for ED without stepping foot outside your door. They're changing men's healthcare by providing access to affordable sexual health treatments from the comfort of your couch. Hims provides access to doctor-trusted ED treatment options such as chewable hard mints, brand name treatments like Viagra, or generic alternatives for up to 95% cheaper. The process is simple and entirely online. Just answer a series of questions and a medical provider will determine the right treatment option. If prescribed, your medication ships to you free, no insurance needed. So what are you waiting for? Join the hundreds of thousands of trusted Hims subscribers and get treated. Start your free online visit today at Hims.com/Paul. That's Hims.com/Paul for your personalized ED treatment options. Hims.com/Paul. Hard mints are chewable compounded products which are not approved by or verified for safety or effectiveness by the FDA. Prescriptions require an online consultation with a healthcare provider who will determine if appropriate. Restrictions apply. See website for details and important safety information. Subscription required. Price varies on product and subscription plan. This podcast is proud to be supported by Jet's Pizza, the number one pick in Detroit-style pizza. Why? It's simple. Jet's is better. With the thickest, crispiest, cheesiest Detroit-style pizza in the country, there's no competition. Right now, get $5 off any 8-corner pizza with code 8SAVE. That's the number 8, S-A-V-E. Go to JetsPizza.com to learn more and find a location near you. Again, try Jet's signature 8-corner pizza and get $5 off with code 8SAVE. That's the number 8, S-A-V-E. Jet's Pizza. Better because it has to be.
You're listening to the Paul Feinbaum Show podcast.
We're back, and let's get to the calls for the first time in a while. Expired is up next.
Hey, Paul, how's it going today?
We are great, Expired.
Well, I wanted to address AC, better known as Ass Clown, and talk about how stupid of an idiot he is. He should be more worried about the cricket championship between Dhaka and Rangpur in Bangladesh than the fighting Texas Aggies. He doesn't have a team. He's not from America. He's a traitor. He's an American traitor. He ought to be put in jail. He's a freaking idiot. I can't even spell how stupid he is. His mom's stupid too. She sits on the couch and it takes her an hour to watch to cook 1 minute of freaking minute rice. That's how stupid his mom is. Let me tell you something, Paul. AC, I'm talking to you. Don't you ever talk down to Matt again. Matt will come over there, fly over there, and whoop your retarded freaking...
That was a really angry call, wasn't it? Chris is up next. Hey, Chris.
Hey. Man, Expired. Like you've been taking some of my calls, Paul. But top of the afternoon, Paul, man. Your first two guests, they was wonderful, man. Brad Crawford, don't disappoint you up next. So to answer your question, Paul, I'm telling you, it got to be, if it's not the best rivalry in college football, it got to be Clemson and Carolina. I mean, we really don't like them, Paul. It would cost you your jobs in South Carolina if you're on the wrong side.
And, I think it's a good one. I think it's in the it's under consideration.
And not even, you got to think about the 20th anniversary coming up of when Lou Holtz with the coach and Tommy Bowden, one of the biggest brawls ever in college football. I mean everybody, and they actually finished the game too, though, Paul. But I mean, it's hated. I mean, especially when we both are really good. Well, that's the AMB for like 10 years of the rivalry. But take it on something else, Paul, what I really called for. I hate to do this, man, but sometimes the OGs got to be checked, Paul, and that's Legend. Man, what's wrong with him, Legend? What's wrong with you? You ain't called the show. Man, you ain't taking care of your car. Man, I'm finna backhand you left and right now. And then you want to take up for that creep squirrel. I just don't understand you. You don't never tell me to shut my mouth. I'm Chris from South Carolina. You don't tell me to shut my mouth, Legend. And then I want all the smoke with you because you need to straighten up and start calling this show. Man, you paving the ground for all of us. Paul, come back. I mean, well, you definitely can't have that much time on your hand. And, Paul, I got to tell you, one more thing before I get off here, Paul. I tell you what, the Paul Feinbaum show was in full effect, man, on Cinco de Mayo. Man, I had to leave the Mexican bar. They kept saying, you Chris from South Carolina? I told you, Paul. They going to know who I'm at. All I got to do is keep calling. I'll holler at you, Paul.
Chris, another Chris. This one's in Austin, Texas. Hello, Chris.
Hey, Chris. I mean, hey, Paul. Honored to be on the show.
Thank
man.
You.
Down here in Austin, I heard another delusional Alabama fan a couple breaks ago, so I had to call in. The downfall is about to begin, and when it does, Paul, when it does, nothing against the poor. And down here in Austin, we know football. I respect the hell out of what Alabama's done. But times are changing, and when it falls, it's going to crash and burn. And this isn't a bold prediction. This is just what it's going to be. This is Texas does things big. That's just what we've always done. We've been down. We know that. But we're going to leave the Big 12 champ, and we're going to enter the SEC, and we're going to win that damn championship this year. And then we're going to the Natty to win that. Something's brewing, Paul. I know when you come down to Austin, you feel it. But we're excited, man. I'm glad we just got you down here on the radio. And it's an honor listening to you and what you've done for college football.
Thank you, Chris. It's great to be part of Austin, Texas. Cornbread is in Ohio. Hello, Cornbread.
Good evening, Paul. Good evening. It's kind of crazy today because I wasn't coming with violence. I was just actually wanted to call, ask the question, but I have to say expired. That's a fellow NFO brother, so I can't really say nothing bad about him. I feel he had to come at him. And Chris needs to go here. He's a South Carolina fan. Like, I didn't mean he's not South Carolina. I'm sorry, Cat Daddy. I don't want to do that. I'm sorry. He's one of them fake Tiger fans. But I can't wait till the season starts so Chris could just stop calling. So we don't want to hear about no ACC football. This is the SEC network. I mean, please, we don't want to hear about that. But just let that go. But the question that I wanted to ask you was that I think there's already a super conference. When you look at the negotiations and they say in Big Ten, SEC and stuff like that, and the one gentleman, I don't remember his name, but when he did the whole playoff thing in the group of five, these were all Big Ten and SEC schools and maybe a ACC school, I think, maybe. So when you really look at it, I mean, we kind of already have a super conference because I can't see a really small school really getting in over a maybe two lost SEC school that probably didn't play in the championship. And they get one of those other X positions. I'm going to hang up. Just want to hear your thoughts about it. If you have
Yeah, thank problems. You. Really do appreciate it. You take care of yourself. Interesting call. How about John in Cullman, Alabama? Hello, John.
Hey, Paul. Hey, Chris from Austin. You should know all about a downfall of a program. We saw it happen at the Rose Bowl over a decade ago. You guys know what it's like to have your head stomped in and lose your program. So you guys should know when a program's about to go down. But Paul, and I think McCoy is just now getting feelings back in his throwing arm after that game. But look, here's the thing. What do people expect Bama fans to do? I mean, were we supposed to just roll over and die? I mean, we didn't forget that before Nick Saban came to Alabama, we are the ones that put the SEC on the map. We're the ones that started this movement. Never forget that. And before Saban got there, we had more bowl wins than anyone in the country. We had more national championships than anyone in the country. Most consecutive sellouts in a stadium of anyone in the country. Football's life at Alabama. We're not going to give up just because we helped raise up two of the greatest coaches of all time at the University of Alabama. Things aren't going to die there because the interest is there, the passion and the love is there, and we know that great things happen at Alabama. Look, Saban could have been the greatest coach of all time, maybe at five other schools, if we're being honest about it. But for Chris from Austin, you need to worry about your billionaires down there calling the shots before you come to this conference and think you're going to do what we have done for over 100 years out of Tuscaloosa, Alabama. That's all I got, Paul.
Well said. Thank you very, very much. Daryl in Baton Rouge. Hello, Daryl.
Good afternoon, Paul. How you doing, buddy?
Very well.
Scott Rabelais had an interesting article this morning in the Morning Advocate,
right,
talking about LSU baseball. Said they still got work to do. We had two good wins Friday and Saturday, and then Sunday, when we get deep into the bullpen, we run out of bullets. And we've been 10 rule runs twice this year because when we get deep in the bullpen, do you think that loss, we got bombed yesterday, 14-4. How much does that take away from the two wins that we had? Does it, for the postseason, does it hurt us a lot? Or
I don't think so. I mean, I'm not sure. I know the mindset of that committee when they meet in 3 weeks, but I think they're going to look at significant wins. I don't think they're going to pay attention to the fact that the final game of a series against an outstanding team was a rout. I think they'll look at what the program has accomplished, and it's not a great list of games, but that series win was fairly important when you consider how late it is. JK is up next.
Paul, how you doing today, bud?
Okay, JK.
Hey, Paul, I'm going to probably ask you a couple of questions. I appreciate it if you answer me if you can. But, Paul, why don't you stop these Alabama callers when they call in with these fables and lies and I wish I could say it and get away with it. Why you just don't cut these guys off?
Why would you say they're lying?
Before Nick Saban got to Alabama didn't have the most national championships. they still don't have the most national championships. Check the record books and get back with me, because they don't. Right or wrong, Paul?
Well, you, they certainly do. They certainly do of the modern era. I don't. I mean, you may be going back to 1895, but I know that they have six under Bryant and six under Saban. That's. Would you like to give me the? Would you like to correct me on the modern era?
Hey,
who has
Paul,
more?
Well, you know what you're doing. You're doing the same thing.
No, because I think you're full of it, J.K. Because Alabama does have that reputation and does have that tradition. And I lived in Alabama a number of years before before Nick Saban got there, and I saw it. I experienced it.
Hey, Paul, that's very eloquent, but you know what? They still don't have the most national championships, as much as you say it, as much as they call in and claim it.
Why don't you explain to us who does?
A team other than Alabama.
Well, so you can't even, you can't even answer the question. You're so off base here.
It's a school called either Yale or Princeton or something like that.
Let me tell you something, J.K., in all of my studies, I've never heard of a school called either Yale or Princeton.
Well,
there's Yale, which is in New Haven, Connecticut, and then there's Princeton, which is in Princeton, New Jersey. Have they merged, Randy? Well, then there's no such thing as what you just got through saying.
All right, Paul, since you finished filibustering.
And by the way, we're talking, you may be digging up a couple of 1895, 1896, but in terms of what we consider Division I Power 5 schools, nobody has more than Alabama.
Hey, Paul, what year did Alabama start playing football?
Except maybe that school called Yale and Princeton.
What year did Alabama start playing football?
I really don't have it in front of me. I'm not an expert like you.
I mean, you should know. You can debunk everything that's not Alabama.
By the way, I'm assuming it was about 115, 20 years ago. But I'll tell you what really matters the most. In the modern era, which to me, you could look at either, I'm not going to go back to 1892. I look at around 35, 36 when national championships started being counted, or more modern, which is post-World War II, depending on. But most people look at the late 30s as the official recognition. Now, I know Alabama went to the Rose Bowl in the 20s and all that, but the AP poll, I don't think, started until the 30s.
Well, Paul, what if everybody else that are not Alabama fans started counting championships before Alabama started winning?
Well, they're welcome to do so, and you know what, J.K.? They still wouldn't add up, because if Alabama wanted to count a bunch of ones that were as illegitimate as the ones you're referencing, they'd probably have 20 or 30. J.K., good try, but you struck out. Better luck next time. We will take a break. More to come right after this.
Robert Half research indicates 9 out of 10 hiring managers are having difficulty hiring. If you have open roles, chances are you're feeling this too. That's why you need Robert Half. Our specialized recruiting professionals engage with our proprietary AI to connect businesses of all sizes with highly skilled talent in finance and accounting, technology, marketing and creative, legal, and administrative and customer support. At Robert Half, we know talent. Visit roberthalf.com today.
Now, let's talk about the play of the week. The pressure to follow up Hypnotic and Cognac, weighing heavy on the team. Hypnotic was in the cup, blue and ready for the play. And boom! Añejo Tequila came in with a smooth assist to Hypnotic's tropical fruit finish. Shaken, strained, poured. It was green and good! The playmaking splash shifted the tempo. Another great cocktail from the Hypnotic team. Every season is Hypnotic and Tequila season. Hypnotic Liqueur, Bardstown, Kentucky, 17% alcohol by volume. Hypnotic reminds you to think wisely, drink wisely.
You're listening to the Paul Feinbaum Show podcast.
Back, and Mark is up next. Good afternoon, Mark. Hey, Mark.
Hey, my wife was a huge Auburn fan, Bo Nix fan. She followed the recruiting, the NFL draft, and all that. But I lost her January the 11th.
I'm sorry. KMS is 54 years old. But my question is, how do you think Bo's going to do in the NFL?
Well, Mark, I think he's going to do very well. Number one, I appreciate your question, and we are all so sorry about your loss.
Well, thank you, and love the show. We always watched it. And,
well, Mark? What was your anyway, wife's name? What was your wife's name?
Christy.
Well, it is. We deeply appreciate you you mentioning that, and I'll spare you how easy or how much better it gets. It's a tough thing, and nobody knows it better than you. But we deeply appreciate you sharing that with us, and I hope somehow Bo Nix can hear about what you said about Christy. You be well. You take care of yourself. Mike is up next. Hey, Mike.
Hey, Paul.
Good afternoon.
Hey, Randy.
Hey, Randy.
Hey, Jim. Jim. Hey, you're not a veteran of the show because you quit the show every single time. But, Paul, how do you feel about the new wide receiver from Penn State coming into Auburn? What do you think he adds to the receiver room?
You know, I think that's a really big pickup for Hugh Freeze, Mike. I think that's going to help Peyton Thorne significantly in the upcoming season. You be well. You take care of yourself. Let's check in with Wendy up next in Ohio. Hello, Wendy.
Hi, Paul. I just looked up. It says college football teams with the most national championships, and 10 is Minnesota, 9 is Oklahoma. Tied with 8 is Ohio State and Harvard. 6th is Southern California and Michigan.
Yeah, that's great.
4 is Notre Dame. 3 is Princeton. 2 is Alabama. And 1 is Yale.
Yeah, whatever.
Of all time.
Thanks, Wendy. Made no sense whatsoever, but you be well. JR is in Arkansas. Hello, JR.
How are you, sir?
We are doing well. Thank you.
What I was wondering, you know, what happened to the boys at the college, all colleges, they used to go out and play for the fun of it. It's all trying to get commercial now, and everybody wants to throw a fit. It's supposed to be a game to enjoy. Everybody enjoy. It don't matter who wins. Everybody likes to win, but out there to enjoy themselves, the kids to enjoy themselves. I wonder what happened to all that.
Well, it changed a little bit.
Right.
But I don't have a problem with these. I mean, what are these young people supposed to do? They're able to legitimately get money. So would you take the money if you were playing right now?
Well, I would offer it, yes, sir. But you know, I thought that's supposed to be after you get out of school, you get your education, then you go pro after you get out of your college.
Well, that is correct,
young,
except that it used to not be legal, and now it is. I mean, I know one thing. I'd probably taken the money whether it was legal. If you were a college student and playing football, Randy, you're 19 years old, and somebody offers you $100 or $1,000 or $20,000, are you going to say, no, I don't want that? I'll take the money.
I understand that going on. They need the money. Don't get me wrong with that.
Well, I think but the point is, they're still having fun. I mean, I go to these games every Saturday at the end of the game, man. They look like they've had a good time.
Right.
Fans look like they're having a good time.
Right.
I don't know anybody that's like refusing to go to the game now, so I'm not going to the game. These guys are making money. I'm staying home, and I'm going to go to the public library and read Chaucer. Vance is up next in Georgia.
Hey, Paul.
Hey there. Good afternoon.
Chaucer. Okay. I can't wait.
I prefer Chaucer over Chaucer, but I don't know about you.
Yeah. I don't think I've ever read a word from him, so I guess I'm not an educated man. I've been listening to JK for quite a while. I appreciate his position. Let's get some things straight here. I want to compliment him and his university. I believe 100% that Miami and their defensive prowess and the way they played changed the way college football has been played to this very day defensively. I truly do.
No, they had some players in the 80s and 90s.
They were something. And had they won the games that they were picked to win, they actually, in a shorter period of time, then Nick Saban would have won.
No, you're right. They blew three or four national championships just out of pure arrogance.
Oh, and I mean, that 86 game with Penn State, that was the one game that Penn State could have won. That was it, but
yeah,
they won.
You're right.
They tried. They would not, even though it was the first game of the season, the Holiday Bowl, they did everything in their power to give that trophy to anyone except BYU. They wanted to give it to Miami. There's one problem. Tennessee beat them 35-7. So all I want to say to him is they've done great things.
Alabama destroyed them, too, in the 92 National Championship game.
Oh, that was what we called it.
I think almost a double-digit underdog, yeah.
Charles said it right. That was just an old-time country boy ass whipping.
It was.
But I'm curious, since those days, Miami lost a very unfortunate game to Ohio State, a great game.
Yeah, they probably deserved to win that one. That was fraudulent what happened at the end of that game.
I totally agree. I 100% agree. However, Florida's won two national championships. Alabama's won six since then. LSU has won. And by the way, Alabama lost two. So what in the hell is his point?
He has no point. He's just an angry, bitter guy who just sits around every day and listens to Alabama chatter, and it makes him angry. So he feels like he can call here and find an outlet.
Well, I also want to remind him for a very comforting thing for Miami football. Central Florida went undefeated one year, JK. All right? Is Miami ever going to come back? The answer is no. It's over. It's done. Get over it. Does that make any sense to you?
It makes perfect sense, Vance. Thank you. AC is up next.
Mr. Feinbaum, sir, how you feeling? Thank you very much for taking my call.
Thank you.
Hey, Mr. Feinbaum, let me. Here's the thing. You know, you have new callers. They call it. Only thing they want to talk about is sports. That's all they say. But do they even get the memo how this radio station works, Mr. Feinbaum? Do they even know what's happening?
Probably not.
That's right. Because they don't listen. Because it's not the caller's fault. It's not my fault. It's Mr. Feinbaum's fault for letting us go off the hook. We can say whatever we want to. So instead of complaining, go talk to Mr. Feinbaum, who opened the doors for everybody. He opened the back door, front door, any doors out there, and we talk. So nobody gives a damn how you feel, you fat Americans. Holla.
Trey is up next.
Man, Paul, I can't help but laugh at that guy, but hey, but do you mind if I reply to Chris from South Carolina real quick?
Sure.
Shut your mouth, Chris. Man, if you want the smoke, you got to learn to bring the smoke. You run around with a sparkler in your hand. Everybody else is running around with grenades. He's talking about bringing smoke. What does he ever call in and talk about? He's a wannabe, Paul. So let's just get him out of the way real quick. And, Paul, when's the last time J.K. called in and talked about Miami? I'm going to tell you, I remember. It was during football season when they lost their first game. He called in and said, well, at least Alabama lost their first game before we did. And then they ended up losing six games, I think. But my main reason for calling, Paul, is about softball. You like to watch the softball, Paul?
I've seen a few games.
Everybody talks about Texas and Oklahoma, and all we talk about is football. But, you know, Texas and Oklahoma are 1-2 in softball right now, and Oklahoma has really dominated
softball.
Yeah, you
know, Trey, you may have, I was in Oklahoma 2 weeks ago, and I went to a softball game there, and it was an amazing experience. I mean, there were 9,000 people on a Friday night. It was not even a a great night. And they lost one game this year, I believe, maybe. And it was like a national news.
Yes, sir. But my question is, as successful as they have both been in softball, do you think they're going to be that successful when they join the SEC? I don't think Oklahoma or Texas is going to be as successful in any of their sports in the SEC.
I know more about Oklahoma. I mean, Oklahoma has gone 3 years without losing a game until this year, and that includes playing in the NCAA tournament. So I think they've proven that they will be able to handle it. The grind of the SEC will affect them a little bit more than maybe the grind of the Big 12, but they're still the best program in the sport, hands down. Thank you for the call. We'll take a short break, and we are back with more.
Hi, it's Mike Greenberg letting you know ESPN Bet is ready to take you through all the biggest sports moments this spring. The official sportsbook of ESPN has exclusive offers and markets from Scott Van Pelt, Stephen A. Smith, and me, plus many more. From the playoff intensity to finally getting out to the ballpark, there's no better time for sports fans. Sign up today. New users get a bet reset up to $1,000 in bonus bets if your first bet doesn't win. Download ESPN Bet today. What a play.
Must be 21 plus and present in select states. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. Terms and conditions apply. See app for details. This podcast is proud to be supported by Jet's Pizza, the number one pick in Detroit-style pizza. Why? It's simple. Jet's is better. With the thickest, crispiest, cheesiest Detroit-style pizza in the country, there's no competition. Right now, get $5 off any 8-corner pizza with code 8SAVE. That's the number 8, S-A-V-E. Go to JetsPizza.com to learn more and find a location near you. Again, try Jets' signature 8-corner pizza and get $5 off with code 8SAVE. That's the number 8, S-A-V-E. Jets Pizza. Better because it has to be.
You're listening to the Paul Feinbaum Show podcast.
Very special show Friday, our annual visit to the golf tournament where a number of the SEC head coaches, including Kalen DeBoer, Kirby Smart, Hugh Freeze. Is Nick Saban still count as a head coach? Yes. And Nick Saban. We'll all be there.
The little fellow.
Brian is up next. Hey, Brian.
Hey, Paul. Glad to talk to you.
Thank you.
First time caller. But I had to call in today after listening to JT. That may have been the stupidest call I've heard on your radio show of many stupid calls that get called in. But to equate Alabama football with Princeton and or Yale may be the stupidest thing that I've heard in a long time. And let me just say, I'm a UT grad. I'm a Bama hater. But that I believe that may have been the stupidest call I've heard in a long time.
Yeah, I feel moderately qualified to offer an opinion on the stupidest call ever, but I will allow that would be in serious consideration.
Yes, I mean, it just boggles the mind. I mean, if I'm thinking of Yale or Princeton, I'm thinking lawyers, doctors, politicians. You know, I'm not necessarily thinking of Division I football national championships, and I think
Brian,
most people would have
that
same thought.
If you were a caller to the show in 1893, you would have been thinking that.
Well, but that would have been before telephones were invented, Paul. So we had to like telegraph
just slightly
or something
before,
probably.
But you're right. Yeah, there wasn't a lot happening. Hey, thank you very much. A great call. Wade is in Kentucky. You're on the air. Hello, Wade.
Hey. I just want to say I've been listening to your show and watching for the last couple of years, and I've really enjoyed it.
Thank you.
And also, I've enjoyed your visits on First Take with Stephen A. and Molly, and I just had to say that. But my question is, what are your thoughts on Mark Pope's staff hires and recruits so far at UK? And I'll hang up and listen.
Thanks, Wayne. Considering how, you know, Calipari literally ripped off the whole place as he left, like he did at Memphis, I think things are going really well. I think Mark Pope has a good staff. I think he's been able to bring in a couple of critical players. It will get better. He came in late. It's a culture shock to him to be recruiting at UK versus where he was in Utah. But I think he will. I think overall he's done a fantastic job on a very short notice. Thank you very, very much for the call. And Shane is calling next. Hello, Shane.
Hey, Paul. How you doing today?
We are doing really well. Thanks for the call.
That's great, man. So, man, I'll tell you what. Some of your callers just, they jump from the top rope, try to go straight into a DDT, man.
Exactly.
I don't know if a lot of the Alabama fans know this, but I'm down here in Mobile. But anyway, Alabama's new defensive coordinator is Kane Womack, who did a fantastic job with the South Alabama Jaguars down here. What do you think about that?
Yeah, you know, in fact, we had a chance to interview Coach Womack during the season. I know they had a big win early on, and we were able to get him on and thought the world of him, and I was intrigued by his decision to leave. But I understand it.
Well, I think him and DeBoer are kind of buddies. They had coached together before,
exactly.
I think. You know what? And Stout went out and hired Major Applewhite. What do you think about that?
Well, I think it's an interesting choice, and I think too often people will judge Major Applewhite on that 1 year in Tuscaloosa, which is not fair. It was 17 or 18 years ago. He's gone on and been a head coach and certainly has a lot of experience. I think he'll be a good recruiter, and I think he'll be someone that brings awareness to USA. I've always thought that was a diamond in the rough down there. I remember being there arguing years ago about how it would help the university and the community, and I think it has done that. Thank you for the call. We'll be right back.
You're listening to the Paul Feinbaum Show podcast.